The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be careful not to parade your good deeds before men to attract their notice. By doing this, you will lose all reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give alms, do not have it trumpeted before you. This is what the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the streets, to win men's admiration. I tell you solemnly, they have had their reward. But when you give alms, your left hand must not know what your right is doing. Your almsgiving must be secret, and your Father who sees all that is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not imitate the hypocrites. They love to say their prayers standing up in the synagogues and at the street corners for people to see them. I tell you solemnly, they have had their reward. But when you pray, go to your private room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in that secret place. And your Father who sees all that is done in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not put on a gloomy look as the hypocrites do. They pull long faces to let men know that they are fasting. I tell you solemnly, they have had their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that no one will know you are fasting except your Father, who sees all that is done in secret. And your Father, who sees all that is done in secret, will reward you." The Gospel of the Lord. I was thinking tonight, it's always nice to hear the little gurgling of a child, because that first reading, Joel's saying, "Gather everybody together." Some of the elderly, not all of the elderly, came this morning to the school mass that don't like coming out in the dark. But it said, "Assemble the elders, summon the community, gather the children, even the little ones." So that little noise is a reminder, actually, that what we're doing is what Joel asked us to do. And Joel was right in that centuries ago, long before Christ. So, and don't worry if they make a noise, because that's what children do. Because he's saying, let them come, let them be here. But it was this morning, very early, listening to somebody chatting on the radio saying what they were giving up for Lent. And one of them said, "Oh, well, he was going to give up red meat." Well, I thought that's probably not a bad idea at the moment. You know, that the Lord's always actually saying something to us. And he said he'd give up red meat, but not sausages. And I thought, that's probably the better thing to give up at the moment. But then it was rather sad. There was the funny side to it. But then they said, "Oh," but then somebody else said, "Well, shall we not bother? Let's not bother giving anything up in Lent. What's the point of it all?" And I just thought, they wouldn't dare say that about Ramadan. They would not be joking on the radio and saying, "Shall we bother giving up? Oh, no, let's not do that." Because you know exactly what I'm saying. They wouldn't even dare to do it. And yet it's a Christian thing. I'm not saying there were Catholics that were saying it. But it's this whole system of thinking we can joke about what we're doing. And yet there's a sense in which it's so serious. It was in Joel's day. The nation was in disaster. We can look around the world and we can think of so many different examples, and the church included in it, as you well know, that integrity and honesty and all that sort of thing called into question. And yet, the one person with great integrity, as it were, leads us into Lent, the Pope having decided that he's not, you know, his powers are failing, he must, and that was great wisdom, great integrity, and great courage to be able to do that. And one of the letters in the paper says, would that many other people would just look and follow his example rather than clinging to whatever. And sometimes people are clinging to sin because the the sin that so easily clings to us. That's what the author to Hebrews speaks about. He said, let's look to Jesus that we're hastening towards and shake off the sin that clings to us. And as I say, we can see that in so many walks of life, and we're all part of it. We're all caught up in it. And Jesus gives us tonight still the things to think about, to reflect on. And I know the bishop spoke of them in his letter on Sunday. I want to pick on the prayer, because there is a sense in which that, of course, is the fundamental. Now, I was reminding the children in school, it's not just when we gathered like this, but in that school they've got the little chapel, and it's there for them. And if any time they feel that they need to go, not necessarily in the middle of a lesson, are they to just, sorry, miss, I'm off to be in the chapel for 10 minutes while you're going on. I said, that's not what I was saying to them. But, you know, it's there and they need that quiet time. And that's what the Lord says. When you pray, go to your private room, shut your door, be close and quiet to yourselves. I remember it was last year that in the Lent leaflet I printed off for you what the Bishop of Aberdeen had written about how much we need silence in a very busy, noisy world. You know, the constant battering that we have from in so many different ways, and yet there's that peace, be still and know that I am God, says the psalmist. And it's that the Lord Jesus saying, how often we hear and read of him going off quietly in the night and praying all night and going to the private room, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Because when many of the things that come upon us are all there and we bemoaning to each other and setting the world to rights, that I'm a master at doing it, as you know, and we can all sit down together and say what's wrong here and what's wrong there and what's wrong with this one. But actually, what the Lord did, who came to put it right, he didn't do that. He actually spent time with his Father. And maybe one of the things in Lent is that finding a bit more space in our life, some time for prayer, to be with the Lord. And it may mean that some of that time can be shaved off the time that you spend cooking exotic dishes or whatever. Maybe something simpler. Maybe that's part of the fasting bit that can link with the other bits. That some of the time saved, we could spend a little more time just bringing all the things that we are worried about or anxious about or just even reflecting upon in prayer to the Lord. Because that's part of our fasting. But it is that sense of mastery over ourselves. When you think of the three of the things that he picks out, it's pride, isn't it? The pride of that wanting to trumpet almsgiving wherever it is. That's the pride. Look at me, I'm so good, I'm doing this with what I've got. Or look at me standing up praying in front of all the people. Or look at me, you know, I am fasting, but you're going to all know about it, you know. And of course, that's one of the downsides of Lent, and some of the older ones will know about this, how you were, when you'd given up sugar in your tea or cigarettes or a drink or something, how as Holy Saturday got nearer, you were just longing for it. And those of you really old enough to remember, probably not many of you here, when actually the Easter Vigil was kept on Holy Saturday morning. So by mid-morning on Holy Saturday, you could break all your fast and you could drink, eat your chocolate or smoke your cigarettes or sugar your tea or whatever you wanted. And some of the older parishioners always have told me this. You're just longing. Good Friday. Oh, will it be Saturday morning? Because the vigil was very early Saturday morning. And then it's all over. But of course, that's not what it's about. And we know that. But it's the Lord bringing us back to reality and saying, think of those three things. There's even leaflets about prayer, fasting, the almsgiving on the table there. You're welcome to take away. But it's the prayer. But giving up something in order to help others, giving up something in order to give a bit more time, but time for the Lord. Not wasted time, but time with the Lord. Because in all that is ever going on, always is, just like Joel's day, just like the Corinthians' time, just like Jesus' time, today, the age-old things are the ones that work. And God came to put it right. The only way he could was through the cross. We know that. And that's why we shall now mark our foreheads with that, saying, Lord, we're going forward with you to share in the King of eternal glory's triumph.